Part 3. When we got to the mainland, we got out of the boat and went up into the hills. We walked in a northwesterly direction through a part of the country where there was no sign of other people. Legrand led the way and seemed to know exactly where to go. We continued walking for about 2 hours until it began to get dark. Then we came to a region which was even more desolate than any we had seen before. It was a kind of plateau near the top of a hill which was almost impossible to climb. It was densely covered with trees, there were very large rocks which seemed ready to fall down the hill, and there were also deep canyons on all sides. All this made the place very unattractive. The plateau to which we had climbed was full of bushes. Without the machete, which Jupiter had brought, we wouldn't have been able to continue. Jupiter followed Legrand's directions and made a path for us with a machete. The path led to a very tall tree in the middle of a group of 8 or 10 smaller trees. It was the most magnificent tree I had ever seen, and had a majestic appearance, with its many branches and beautiful leaves. When we got to this tree, Legrand turned to Jupiter and said, "Well, Jupiter, can you climb this tree?" Jupiter seemed surprised at first and didn't answer. Then he walked slowly around the enormous tree, examined it carefully, and finally said,
"Yes, I can climb it. There are very few trees that I can't climb." "Then climb up immediately before it gets too dark to see," Legrand told him. "How high do I have to go?" asked Jupiter. "Climb up as far as the first branches, and then I'll tell you where to go," Legrand answered. "And here, take the gold beetle with you." "The gold bug? Why do I have to take the gold bug with me?" asked Jupiter. "I don't want to do that." "You can't be frightened of taking a small dead beetle with you," exclaimed Legrand. "You can carry it by the string, but you must take it with you."
"Of course I'm not frightened," said Jupiter.
He took the string and, holding it as far from his body as he could, prepared to climb the tree. He put his arms around the enormous tree and, using his knees, his hands, and his feet, succeeded in climbing up the tree until he was about 20 or 25 meters above the ground, among the first branches.
"Which way should I go now?" he asked. "Continue going up the largest branch on the side of the tree closest to us," Legrand told him.
Jupiter continued climbing higher and higher, until we could hardly see him through the dense leaves and branches. After some time, we heard his voice.
"How much further must I go? I'm very high now. I can see the sky through the top of the tree."
"Forget about the sky and listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you," Legrand said. "Look down the tree and count the branches below you. How many big branches have you passed?"
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Jupiter counted. "I've passed 5 big branches on this side. I'm on the 6th branch now."
"Then go one higher," Legrand ordered.
A few minutes later, Jupiter's voice announced that he was now on the 7th branch.
"Now climb along that branch as far as you can, Jupiter," cried Legrand in an excited voice. "Tell me if you see anything strange."
I was now even more certain that my friend had become insane, and all I wanted to do was to get him home. While I was thinking what I should do, I heard Jupiter's voice again.
"I can't go too far along this branch because it's dead," he said.
"You say the branch is dead, Jupiter?"
Legrand asked. He seemed very upset, and I could hear that his voice was trembling.
"What can I do now?"
I finally spoke. "What can you do?" I said. "You can go home and go to bed. It's getting late, and before we left on this expedition, you promised you would go home with me." Legrand didn't pay any attention to me.
"Jupiter, cut into the wood with your knife and tell me if it's rotten,"
Legrand ordered.
"It's rotten, but not too bad," Jupiter said a few seconds later. "If it was just me up here, I could go further along the branch."
"Just you? What do you mean?" Legrand asked.
"I mean the bug," answered Jupiter. "It's very heavy, you know. I think I should throw the bug down to you. The branch won't break with just my weight on it."
"Don't be stupid," cried Legrand. "If you drop the beetle, I'll be angry with you. But if you go along the branch as far as it's safe, and if you don't drop the bug, I'll give you a silver dollar as a present."
"I'll do it," said Jupiter. "I'm almost at the end of the branch now."
"At the end?" Legrand shouted. "Do you mean that you've already got to the end of the branch?"
"I'll be at the end soon," said Jupiter. "But just a minute. There's something here on the branch."
Legrand became even more excited.
"What is it?" he asked.
"It's a skull," Jupiter shouted.
"A skull?" exclaimed Legrand. "How is it attached to the branch?"
"There's a big nail that goes through the skull into the branch, and that's why it hasn't fallen from the tree," Jupiter explained.
"Okay, Jupiter, you must do exactly what I tell you," said Legrand. "Find the left eye of the skull. You do know your left side from your right side, don't you?"
"I know that my left hand is the one that I cut wood with," answered Jupiter.
"Okay, your left eye is on the same side as your left hand," said Legrand. "So now I suppose you can find the left eye of the skull."
Jupiter was silent for a long time. Then he said,
"I suppose the left eye of the skull is on the same side where the left hand of the skull would be, if the skull had a hand. What do I have to do now?"
"Drop the beetle through the left eye of the skull as far as the string will permit," explained Legrand. "Just be careful and don't let go of the string."
"That was easy," said Jupiter a couple of minutes later. "Look up and you'll see the bug."
During this conversation, we couldn't see Jupiter at all, but now we could see the bug hanging at the end of the string. It shone like gold in the last rays of the evening sun. The beetle hung clear of the branches, and if Jupiter had let go of the string, it would have fallen right at our feet. Legrand picked up the machete and cleared a circular space with it below where the beetle was hanging. Then he told Jupiter to drop the beetle and to come down from the tree. When Jupiter dropped the beetle, it fell straight down into the middle of this space. Legrand now put a small piece of wood into the ground, exactly at the place where the beetle had fallen. Then he took a tape measure from his pocket and attached one end of it to the point on the tree which was closest to the piece of wood. Then he extended the tape measure until it got to the piece of wood itself, and then extended it for 16 meters more, following the direction established by the tree and the piece of wood. At this new place, Legrand put another small piece of wood into the ground and drew a circle of about 1.5 meters in diameter around it. He then took a spade, gave another one to Jupiter and the third to me, and asked us to start digging there immediately. I certainly didn't want to do this. I was very tired after our long walk, but I saw no way of refusing without upsetting Legrand. If I had thought that Jupiter would help me, I would have tried to take Legrand home by force. But I knew how loyal Jupiter was to his master. He would certainly not help me to do something that Legrand didn't want to do. I was now certain that Legrand had decided there was treasure buried there. It seemed to me that he had read too many stories about buried treasure, and that his fantasy had grown stronger when he found the beetle. Perhaps he had also been influenced by Jupiter's insistence that the bug was made of real gold. When someone is insane, all kinds of strange ideas seem logical. I decided to start digging and so convince Legrand that there was nothing there in the ground. We lit the lanterns and started digging rapidly. We didn't speak to each other much. 2 hours later, we had dug to a depth of 2 meters, but there was no sign of any treasure. I hoped that Legrand would now give up, but he refused to stop digging. We had already dug up the whole circle, which we now made wider, and dug another meter deeper, but we still didn't find anything. Legrand climbed out of the deep hole, and I could see that he was very disappointed. He made a sign to Jupiter to get all the tools and the beetle. Then, in complete silence, we started to walk home. We had only gone about 12 steps when Legrand suddenly shouted, "Show me right now, Jupiter, which is your left eye?"
"This is my left eye,"
Jupiter answered, putting his hand over his right eye.
"That's what I thought," exclaimed Legrand. "We must go back immediately."
Legrand took us back to the enormous tree. When we got there, he asked Jupiter,
"Well, did you drop the beetle through the left eye or the right one?"
Legrand asked, touching each of Jupiter's eyes as he spoke.
"It was this eye, the left one,"
Jupiter answered, pointing to his right eye.
"Okay, I understand," Legrand said. "We have to try again."
Legrand took the small piece of wood which marked the place where the beetle had fallen and moved it about 2 centimeters to the west. He now used his tape measure again and found a new place which was a few meters from the place where we had dug before. He drew a circle around this new place and we started digging again. I was really tired by this time, but for some reason I had become interested in, even excited about, Legrand's obsession. Legrand didn't look insane to me now. He seemed to know exactly what he was doing. So I dug as quickly as I could, expecting more and more to find treasure. We had been working for an hour when we suddenly saw a large number of human bones which formed 2 complete skeletons. We dug some more and soon saw some gold and silver coins. Jupiter was very happy to see these coins, but Legrand looked disappointed and asked us to continue digging. We now worked even more quickly, and I had never felt so excited in my life. 10 minutes later, we dug out a wooden box, which seemed to be in very good condition. The box was 1 meter long, 1 meter wide and 75 centimeters deep. We tried to take the box out of the hole, but it was too heavy. Then we saw that the lid of the box was quite easy to open. We opened it, but could not see very well inside. Legrand and I climbed out of the hole and took the lanterns to have a better look. Suddenly, a marvelous treasure was revealed. The rays of the lanterns showed us a pile of shining gold, gold coins and jewels. I can't describe my feelings very well, but the strongest was complete surprise. Legrand seemed tired by all the excitement and didn't say much,
But Jupiter fell on his knees and buried his arms in the gold.
And this is all because of the gold bug. The gold bug, which I didn't like, he exclaimed.
It was now getting very late, and I told Legrand and Jupiter that we had to take the treasure out of the hole and put it in a safe place before daylight. We had difficulty deciding what should be done. Finally, we took 2/3 of the contents out of the box so that we could make it lighter and get it out of the hole. We hid the things we had taken out among the bushes and then started our difficult journey back to the island, carrying the box.